Well, thank you. Thank you for sharing. Appreciated that. Just see the faithfulness of God as He guides, He preserves, He directs. Like, yeah, God is so good. Let's stand for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we come to you this morning in the precious name of Jesus. Lord, we realize that you're our God and our Father, and we need you in this life to show us the way, to direct us, to keep us, to give us life. And we just pray that as we look into your word this morning, that you would direct our hearts, our thoughts, and open our hearts to you, that we could learn of you. Just pray that your spirit would be here and guide us in truth. In Jesus' name, amen. So a few weeks ago, just recently, I guess it was, how I believe it was shared here, the verses in Matthew chapter 5, and I'd like to take a closer look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So, when I think about what he's saying, I believe he's saying that we're going to see God. And to me, seeing God is not just seeing God in eternity. At the end of life, the Christian has the gift of heaven, of seeing God, being in God's presence. But I believe that when we have a pure heart, that God wants us to see him today. He wants us to come to him with a pure heart, that we can get to see God today. And you know, many, many people miss this great opportunity of seeing God today. I'd like to think about some things that hinder us. What are some things that hinder us from seeing God, from having a pure heart, that would stand in the way of us getting to see God today? I believe one is idols. We have the first commandment. God told the children of Israel, "You shall have no other gods before me." No other gods. What is a god? It's something that's central. It's something that is set up. Usually an elevated thing. It's central. It's... Thank you, Titus. It's a focus point. And people bow down and worship. Or their heart is worshiping this thing, this idol. God created us to worship. It's in every person to worship. We will worship. The question isn't if we will. We will. What are we worshiping? God wants us to worship him. So an idol can block us from seeing God today. Sin can block us from seeing God today. So if there's something that we allow in our life, something we do or allow in our heart that we know is sin, and it says to him who knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. So something we know God wants us to do, or something we know is wrong, and we allow this sin into my heart to have a place in my heart, it will hinder us from seeing God today. And with sin, the devil will bring condemnation. He will He wants to tempt people to sin. He wants to tempt you to sin. And then on top of the sin, when he gets you to fall, then he comes and he'll condemn you. And he'll tell you, see, you're a failure. See, your life is worthless. See, you just blew it. He's going to bring condemnation. And condemnation and this darkness and confusion that comes with that sin, the guilt, that all of that darkness and confusion is from the devil. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. He wants to give you a path out of sin. That's what Jesus came. He came and he said, repent, believe. He gave hope. A way to move forward, a way to pass from this place of sin to life. He gives a way. Jesus will always give you a way to be free from sin. He'll give you a clear path. Condemnation is not from God. Another thing that may block our heart from seeing God today is fear. We know that fear comes from the devil. He brings fear to us. And he wants to put a fear in your heart and set up something that fills your heart up with fear. And this thing will become so big, this fear becomes so big that we don't see God anymore. And fear is not from God. It's from the devil. I believe another way is hurt in our life. Hurt from other people. From someone who we feel has wronged us. And we can allow this hurt to come and take root in our heart. Instead of giving it to God and finding freedom from it, this hurt can become a big, big issue in our heart. And it will hinder us from seeing God. Along with hurt, usually there's bitterness. When we're hurt by someone, the devil wants us to give in to bitterness and to allow a root of bitterness to grow in there. And that if we do that, that root of bitterness will grow and it become bigger. And I have talked to people who had bitterness in their heart, and they cannot see God. They cannot see God. Because that hurt and that bitterness just keeps going round and round. And you can go around and around and around and around the bushes of hurt and bitterness. And he hurt me and this happened. And, you know, God doesn't want us to live that way. He wants to give us freedom from hurt. He came to set us free from that. To take away the bitterness, to heal the hurt. Unbelief will keep us from seeing God today. Just not believing, not taking God, not believing that God is God, not believing that, you know, live my own life. Just live the way I want to, and not taking hold of the promises, the gift of Jesus. And one more, I believe, I'm sure there's many more, but one more I had here was the wisdom of the world can keep us from seeing God. The Bible has verses that talks about the wisdom of the world that is foolishness with God. And we can know all the wisdom of the world, and it will not show us God. It can prevent us from seeing God, because many of the things in the simple plan of salvation will never make sense to a mind that's full of the world's wisdom. So blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Sometimes I believe we struggle with feeling valued in our life. I believe each of us struggle in some time or another in our life with feelings of, you know, does anyone care about me? Or does God really care about my life? Have you ever been there? Every one of us, right? I believe if we're honest, we have been there. We can face hard things, we can be in lonely places, and we can start to believe that this lie that no one cares about you, or that God doesn't really care about my life. But I'd like to take you, if we could remember back, let's look at Matthew chapter 10, verse 29. Jesus was sending out his disciples, and he told them not to take many things, that God's going to take care of them. And he said, are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. You're of more value than many sparrows. Jesus comes in this time when, you know, many of the, in this time when Jesus walked here, I believe was a time where the lepers, the sick people, they were outcasts. They were people who were rejected. There was, you know, babies were left to die in some of these cultures where they didn't want, you know, a girl. They would let them die. Or we see when Herod gets angry, when he hears that there may be a King Jesus somewhere, what does he do? He sends his workers out and they murder babies. Life was not, yeah, it was just so many things. You know, women were not, they were not treated with value. So there were slaves, people owning other people. This is, and Jesus comes and he tells his disciples these words, that God cares about the sparrows. I wonder how it made them feel when they hear this message and Jesus is telling them, God cares about the sparrows. And he cares about those birds, that they have enough to eat. He cares about a place for them to build a nest. And he supplies every need they have. And he says, he has them all numbered, every sparrow. And then he says, you're more valuable than many sparrows, and the hairs of your head are all numbered. So, your hairs are all numbered. Do we really believe that? Do I believe that God cares about me, that he knows how many hairs are on my head? It's hard to imagine. But he does. Jesus told us this, and I believe it. So, what I'm saying this morning is I would like to go up and down every row here, and I would like to tell you that God loves you, and he cares about every detail of your life. The same Jesus who talked about the sparrows. He loves you today. And he cares incredibly about your life. So much. More than you know. And he cares about what you're facing in life. He cares about the hard things. He cares about the confusion, things you don't understand. I'd like to look at some keys to having a pure heart, or how we have a pure heart, and we'll get to see God. Number one, in Matthew 4, verse 17, said, "From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" Repent. Number one is repent. I believe it was a simple message. Jesus came and he preached repentance. He said, "Repent. Turn from the way of sin. Turn. Repent." He came to the disciples. In the same chapter it says, "And he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.'" Number two, he said, "Follow me." Repent, and then he said, "Follow me." And if we want to see Jesus, we need to follow him. We need to be with him. We need to go with him. We need to follow him. See how he lived, and then follow that. Second Chronicles 7, verse 11. I believe we all know this story, but I will read it again because it is so important, and there's important keys here for us. When Solomon had finished the building of the temple, Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house, and Solomon successfully accomplished all that came into his heart to make in the house of the Lord and in his own house. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, "I have heard your prayer, and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. When I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to prayer made in this place. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually." We know this story. We know these verses. But it's so important. We have God clearly giving us the keys of what we need to do to find him, to know him, to see him today. He said, number three, if we would humble ourselves. Number four, pray. Number five, seek my face. And I believe the other one he mentioned there was turn from their wicked ways, I believe, is along with repent. Turn. He said, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways." Very clear keys on how we're going to find God and see God today. We must have, number six, faith in the Lord Jesus. You can turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1, verse 15. Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So here he said he had heard of their faith. They had faith in Jesus and their love for the saints. And he was saying how this faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, his prayer was that it would grow and that it would be, that God would give them the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowing him, the eyes of their understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and his power and seeing Christ's work. We need faith to see God. I'd like to turn to Psalm 73. Everybody staying awake, or we need to stand up, or are we all good? Okay, well, let's stand up while we read this chapter. The seventh key, Psalm 73, is to go into the presence of the Lord. To go into the presence of the Lord. And I'd like you to see, as we read this chapter, how he's saying he was not seeing clearly. There was confusion coming into his life, right? And then it says when he went into God's presence, then God helped him to see clearly. Psalm 73, truly God is good to Israel, to such as are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled, my steps had nearly slipped, for I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked, for there are no pangs in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride serves as their necklace. Violence covers them like a garment. Their eyes bulge with abundance. They have more than heart could wish. They scoff and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walks through the earth. Therefore this people return here, his people return here, and waters of a full cup are drained by them. And they say, How does God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly, who are always at ease. They increase in riches. Surely I have cleansed my heart in vain, and washed my hands in innocence. For all day long I have been plagued and chastened every morning. If I had said, I will speak thus, behold, I would have been untrue to the generation of your children. When I thought how to understand this, it was too painful for me, until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their end. Surely you set them in slippery places. You cast them down to destruction. Oh, how they are brought to desolation as in a moment. They are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awakes, so, Lord, when you awake, you shall despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was vexed in my mind. I was so foolish and ignorant. I was like a beast before you. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold me by my right hand. You will guide me with your counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For indeed, those who are far from you shall perish. You have destroyed all those who desert you for harlotry. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all your works. You may be seated. Here he was telling us that his vision started to get blurry. He started to think the wicked have it so good. They have a life of ease. You know, they're getting everything they want, right? It appears that way today. But it's not the end of the story. The rest of the story will be told. And it's the end. And he said, when I went in to the presence of God, when I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end. God gave him wisdom. He went into God's presence, and God helped him to see clearly through these things. He saw God. He saw God's direction. God gave him wisdom to see the end of the story, not just today. He saw the end, the way the wicked will end. And then he could clearly see, this is not the way I want to go. Being in the presence of the Lord, we will be able to see God. We need to go to him. We need to seek him. We need to pray. We need to be in his presence. One more. Number 8, embracing the simplicity of the cross. You can turn to 1 Corinthians 1, verse 17. First Corinthians 1, verse 17. And this is the words of Paul. For God did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, It pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. That is, it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. I believe we will see God in a simple gospel, simple cross, a simple coming to God, having faith in him, being broken, being humble, praying, seeking his face, repenting, turning from sin, coming into his presence. I believe that's the way we can see God today. Another thing that Jesus came and he, and they were, says they were bringing children to him. And the disciples are like, no, 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 hey, you know, take the children away. You know, this is an important teacher to hear today. You got to take the children away. Jesus says, no. No, he said, let the little children come to me. And rather, he took that and he said, unless you become as a little child, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. We see Jesus caring for little helpless children. And he said, if you want to enter the kingdom of heaven, if you want to know me, if you want to see me, you need to become as a little child. You need to have a trust in me. Just trust me for your Father. God bless you.